When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
In back of short, Jeter on the run, makes a one-handed running catch, and dives into the photographer's area. Oh, what a play by Jeter. You can't believe it.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Go in our five-hour midnight ride as we navigate this exciting morning. No problem staying awake today. 877-337-6666. Ben Stiller's excited. Josh Hart. I'm watching all the tweets on NBA TV, all the different people who are tweeting after that game. Oh, the end of that game, I woke my wife up screaming. She wasn't happy with me. It's the way it goes, hon. You shouldn't be sleeping on the couch. Go upstairs and go to bed. You chose to fall asleep next to me. That was your problem. I don't know what you expect me to do. That's what we do. 877-337-6666. Love to hear from guys who are at the game or people who are at the game. Anthony in Jackson, New Jersey was at the game last night. What's up, Anthony?
Oh, man. I hope you can hear me. I don't have a voice.
Yeah, unbelievable, huh? What an atmosphere. First of all, the Garden is always great. But in that moment with that game, I mean, this is so much fun. It is so much fun because of how much we love this team. And to watch these games and those final moments of this one, it's as good as it's been in a long time at the Garden, man.
Yeah, for sure. So my son wanted to go to the playoffs last year, but it was too late to get tickets. And by the time I could get tickets, they were too expensive.
Okay.
So I promised him we would go this year. And we got tickets for the game two, and I told my son, I said, man, Saturday's game was great. I wish we had been at that game. And then we showed up at this game.
Yep.
And this game was better, obviously, than Saturday's game. But the Garden was electric. I am notorious for being at games where my team loses. I'm mush. I am completely mush. And when they went down after being up by 7 or 8 points, whatever,
yeah, they're up eight, yeah.
I thought I had mushed them.
Yeah.
And my head was in my hands during that last 47 seconds. And when they came back, I can't tell you the feeling in that environment, high fiving and hugging complete strangers.
Sure.
It was just the most remarkable experience for me and my son. This is a very special team. I hope they go a long way.
No, absolutely, and thank you, Anthony. And yeah, I mean, in that moment, we all felt like, I mean, listen, I thought the game was over. I thought the game was over. I thought they blew it. After that overturned foul call, and then the way Maxey took over and hits that long three, I thought the game was over. Then they miss a shot. They get the rebound. They're at the foul line. Lowry hits the first one. Game's over. And everything that transpired later is more and more unlikely. From Lowry's missed foul shot, okay, people miss foul shots, to Brunson's three that goes off the rim and up and goes in. And let's be fair, I want to be fair to him. As bad as I think he's been in these two games, he's really had no, rim luck at all. And that ball goes off the top rim and up and then falls in to go up three. Then the unlikelihood of forcing the bad inbound pass. No foul call as Maxey goes to the ground. Maxey doesn't try and call a timeout holding the basketball. He tries to make a pass through either, I think, Josh Hart's legs, which leads to the steal. Then DiVincenzo gets an opportunity for a three, misses it. Hartenstein comes barreling through the middle of the paint to get an unbelievable offensive rebound, throws it to Anunoby, who immediately gets it back out to DiVincenzo for a top of the key three, and it goes in. I mean, that moment right there. And then, to top it off, Maxey goes down the court and takes it to the basket, and every single time these two games, every single time in these two games, Maxey has gone to the basket, he has scored. I mean, he's been incredible going to the basket. every single time, and in this, the most important moment of this game, after getting the most important offensive rebound of the game, Hartenstein gets the block, which leads to the foul to Anunoby, which leads to going up 3 points and the end of the game. Everything in that sequence goes unlikely to even more unlikely all the way through. And they figured out a way to win a game down 5 points with 47 seconds left. And even more than that, that's when the foul shot was missed, 47 seconds left. I mean, it's an incredible end of the game. And all the different circumstances. And I want to take some more calls, but we'll get to... I'll make sure, we have the sound. I want to hear from Nick Nurse. I want to hear from Embiid. I guess I want to hear from Max. He's talking about how he wasn't feeling well, and they talked about that. I'm an actual idiot. I didn't realize until about the beginning of the fourth quarter that this game was also on. I'm an idiot. This is how bad. I'm watching the game on TNT. I didn't even think to put on MSG. I was watching the game on TNT. I was watching the halftime show. I just didn't even think of it.
I forgot. It was a Breen Clyde specialty.
I know.
You're not going to get a ton of them in the postseason.
I know. Thankfully, I was.
Was Ian calling the game?
No, it was
Harlan.
Yeah, and Van Gundy, and they did a decent enough job. But yeah, I didn't even think of it. I didn't catch it until the end. I realized it. Phil in Liverpool. What's up, Phil?
I'm all right. Islanders fans for 50 years, Knicks fans for 51.
Okay.
So I'm watching the game.
Right.
Watching both games.
You're watching both games on two separate TVs at the exact same time.
Same TV. Flipping back and forth.
What picture? Oh, you're going just going back and forth.
Yeah, I'm going back and forth.
Oh, that's
my son calls.
That's tough.
My ex-wife calls. They're all bugging me.
What does your ex-wife want in a moment like this?
They're just bugging me. Then my girlfriend calls. So don't call me. I ripped the phone wire out. Like, that's it. I don't want to see this.
Look at you. Can I just say something? I love you, Phil. I have to admit. You're watching the TV flipping back and forth, and then you rip the phone wire out.
Yeah,
still has a phone wire?
And this is
what phone wire are you ripping out?
This afternoon, where Boone went crazy. And
did you also go to the ice box and get a cold drink?
No. So what happens is the Islanders go up 3-0. And look, I'm not stupid here. You know, I wish I was a Ranger fan, but I was young. I was an Islander fan. I picked. Hey, let me pick the Islanders. I'm
yeah,
young.
Yeah, you were young and impressionable, and you appear pressured to be an Islander fan.
That's great. But the Knicks haven't won in 51 years.
Correct.
Since 73. And I saw that team win. Now, so I'm looking at it. I'm like, the Islanders, all right, you have 3-0. But you're going into this shell.
Yep.
Where you want to lose. Meanwhile, Carolina is an excellent team. Isn't that good? But they're an excellent team.
Excellent team.
And the Islanders, first up, can you clear the effing puck out of the zone? Can you do that just once? I mean, they're not even. It's like I wanted Patrick Waugh to call a timeout at the end of the second period to say, "Hey guys, calm down. You know, stop going to a shell. Play with some offense here, and put the Kings on their heels." They didn't do it, and you know what? They deserve it because they play so lackluster. They had 5 shots. In 2 periods.
Yeah.
You're not going to... You don't deserve...
No, and I think they didn't have a... I don't think they had a shot in the first 13 minutes of the game either.
No, they had 7 in the first period. They just fell off the charts. Like, they had that lead, which they were lucky to have. Now, they played better in game one. Much better.
Yeah, but I think they did
just,
too, yeah.
They just, like, slacked it in, and it was like they just figured out... First, the Canes are a much better team than they are, but you have a 3-0 lead... You know, you have to. You can't just lay back and say, you know what, it's all right.
No, you can't. You can't go into the shell and try and hold on to a lead, Phil. And thank you for the call, man. I guess we know where Phil stands. I think the loss. I think the Islander loss is bothering him a little bit more than the Knick win is exciting him. I think that's fair to say with Phil. He was so mad he ripped the phone wire out of the wall. Then he went to the ice box and pulled out a warm glass and pulled out an ice cold glass of milk. Then he checked out what time it was on his sundial. Peter in Manhattan, what's up, Peter?
How are you doing, Chris? Great commentary, Chris.
Thank you.
A comment, and then I want to ask you a few questions.
Yeah, I mean, the Philadelphia is part of the DNA. I mean, let's take a look at the history. They lose to Toronto. They lose to Boston. They lose to Atlanta. These are three series they should have won the last few years. So I'm not surprised they're down 0-2. Now, yes. The other comment I want to make, Embiid, for a guy that is basically 50%, is playing pretty well. Now, the question I have for you,
very
two
well.
Questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Well, at least offensively. He can't move that much.
Right.
And he blocked a couple shots, and he makes it hard for something like Brunson to get to the rim. But, yes, but offensively he's played very well.
I mean, Brunson, it seems like the small guy in the playoffs, it's tough because of the defensive intensity. I mean, the rest don't call the, you know, they don't call the So I guess the two questions I have for you today. The first one is, if you had a star, the one star of the game today, if you can pick, who would it be? And the second question, I know you're still going Knicks. How many games do you think this series lasts?
Wait. I'm sorry, yeah. Peter. I was reading something. I apologize. What was the first question? I heard you. How many games?
Yeah. In other words, if you could have a star of the game tonight, who would it be?
For the Knicks?
For the Knicks, yeah.
Star of the game. Thank you for the call, man. Star of the game, and then how many games do I think it goes? I'll answer the first one. I think it's going to go six. I still think it's a hard four. I mean, I still think it's going to go six. It's either five or six. It's not going to go seven. I think the Knicks are going to figure out a way to win this in five or six. And then the star of the game is tough. It is. It's tough. DiVincenzo hits the big shot. I mean, I really want to give it to Hartenstein for the rebound and the block shot in that sequence. It's definitely not Brunson, obviously.
You got to throw Josh Hart in there because
Josh Hart,
40-plus minutes,
doubt.
He was the best offense and rebounder.
You're 100% right. It could be in the beginning of the game as, you know, Philadelphia was playing much better and they get out to that 9-0 run. Maxie hits the first three-pointers he takes and they're up 9-0. Like, in that moment, Josh Hart was the only thing keeping that game close. Josh Hart and getting to the foul line was the only thing saving the Knicks. And Josh Hart, again, last game one, he was hitting shots at the end of the game, was cold at the start, got hot late. In this game, he got hot out the gate and then cooled off later in the game. So Josh Hart's up there. It's tough. There really was no. I think that's what speaks about this Knicks team. It's difficult to come up with a star of the game. Mitchell Robinson did not have the impact he had in game one. Neither did Deuce McBride. Neither did Bogdanovich, although he hit a couple of threes in that moment where they were building the 8-point lead. You know what? Screw it. It's my opinion. I'm going to say Hartenstein. I love that rebound. I absolutely adore that rebound, and I love the block shot. So to me, those are the two plays that won them the game. That rebound, I know DiVincenzo hits the shot. He got a good look at the top of the key three, his second of that sequence. So he went, you know, 50%, got a really good look right at the top of the key. He's got to hit that shot. That driving that lane and getting that rebound and then blocking that shot, I'm going to give it to Hartenstein. Sam in Ridgefield. What's up, Sam?
Hey, man, what's up?
What's up, buddy? How we doing?
How we doing?
I'm doing great.
I just brought it up. I know you're busy, but I definitely gotta give thanks to Bogdanovich.
I mean,
that was crazy. Those two shots. I mean, those were huge shots.
They were huge,
and helped. I mean, that helped them get to the 8-point lead, biggest lead of the game.
No doubt. But I mean, to me, when I'm looking at the star. Yes, those big shots were huge. They were down five with 47 seconds left. So it's tough. I mean, I know that he helped build them an 8-point lead, and it would have been worse than five if not for those shots. But still, there was a point later in that game that they're down 5 points, and they needed more heroics. And for me, Hartenstein did it. But yes, Bogdanovich, in game one, he was on fire. And you could argue, you know, he hits those two shots and gets taken out of the game. It was, you would have liked to see him stay in there a little bit more. But I mean, yeah, no, the role players of this team, the guys, whether it be McBride, whether it be obviously Bogdanovich, Mitchell Robinson, those guys off the bench have been incredible.
And I wasn't even trying to dispute Hartenstein as the game, but I just think Bogdanovich gets the credit for those shots.
No, of course.
And also, I called him before. Mitch, and you built on it. You said about, you know, how he's an all-star player and no one forgot or anything. How about Mitchell Robinson last game? I mean, when he ripped the ball from Embiid, that's exactly what we need. That's how they've been playing.
Yeah.
You know, that brings us right to where we should be. And then Brunson, I just rephrased Shaq. He's undersized or whatever. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Thing to see as time, you know, goes on. Here we are. He's my star. My mom got me a Brunson jersey for Easter. I believe in him. I'm curious to see what you said. You've already talked about
it. Oh, yeah. No, Sam, I believe in him. And thank you for the call. I believe in him. I'm not done with Jalen Brunson. He's an incredible player and a star of this team. But he needs to be better. That's all. And it's not the focus. It would have been the focus had they lost this game. I'll be honest with you. If they had lost this game, the focus would have been, we know what Embiid is, but Maxey is outplaying Embiid in this series, and that's why they lost this game. That was going to be my open. With 47 seconds left, my thoughts were, why is Maxey outplaying Brunson in the Garden? That was my open. And now it's the secondary story where he's got to get better, but he hits the three. Got to give him credit. He hits the big three at the beginning of that sequence. And, yeah, I mean, of course, I still believe in him. I don't think he's done, but he's got to make some adjustments here. And I don't know what it is exactly. I do think they're playing him tough. They're double-teaming him. It is leaving other guys open and getting more open shots for different guys. And that's how a lot of teams are going to attack him, and that's certainly how Philadelphia's attacking him. But he has gotten open looks, and he has gotten to the lane and gotten his little mid-range shots that he creates with his footwork and the space he creates and the fadeaways. And he's gotten his looks that go in. I mean, we've watched him over the last 2 months score 45 points, score 40 points 10 times in this season, have a 60-point game against San Antonio. We've seen him. It's not always wide-open threes. It's not always 25 foul shots. Like, he's hit these shots. He's hit these contested shots. That's what made him special. He's off. And I'm not sure exactly why. And the only thing is, after game one, I felt like, whew, we managed to win a game without Brunson playing well. And now after game two, it's still a lot of that, especially with the excitement of the end of the game. But it's a little more of like, well, geez, I mean, how many games are you going to play like this, Jalen? Like, he can't. He can't continue to play. You're not gonna pull out 5-point deficits with 45 seconds left. You're not gonna do that very often. That's what makes last night special, is that it's unlikely. You can't count on such things. You have to be able to count on Brunson being better than this. And I still anticipate that he will be. But now you're going on the road, and typically on the road, it's where your bench players and your role players don't play as well. And it's going to be up more. And it's where the role players of Philadelphia will play better. Batum will play better. Oubre will play better. And you're going to have Jalen Brunson step up if they're going to want to win games on the road. The Knicks are great as a team. And we're seeing it. And whether it's Hart, you know, I don't have to keep listing the names. They've all played great. And we love their depth, and we love the amount of shooters they have, and their toughness, and their rebounding, and all that, all true. But we know what got them here. We know who's emerged as a superstar in this league, and why, despite losing Anunoby and Randle for much of the year, they were able to build a record that got them the 2 seed. We know why. It wasn't just rebounding and defensive toughness. It was Jalen Brunson emerging as a superstar. It's the same thing with the Yankees, right? The Yankees aren't going to score a lot of runs. They don't have to get shut out 4 times within the first month of the season. But they're not going to score a lot of runs if Judge is hitting 170. And the Knicks aren't going to win a lot of playoff games, particularly on the road, if Brunson is 8 for 29, 1 for 6 from 3, and 2 for 8 in the fourth quarter. They're not going to win a lot of those games. They got 2. He's got to be better. The Bear in the Bronx. What's up, Bear?
I've seen a lot of Islander games, but I'm going to tell you this, because I've been watching them since the beginning. And I'm going to tell you this. This is the worst loss I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's a brutal loss. It's a brutal loss. You were back. You were right back into a series. You got the split on the road, heading back home against a team that nobody thinks you can compete with. That everybody figures you're going to lose the series. And to have that 3-goal lead and watch it whittle away slowly while you do nothing but try and hold on to it is a brutal loss.
Yeah, and as for the mid game, this has become my first, the greatest mid game I've ever seen. The other mid game that I've seen that I consider, and it's second, is the night the Knicks won 18 games in a row, and that was the 1969-1970 Knicks, where I seen Oscar Robbins foul out of the game and Bob Cousy get out of his civvies and put on a uniform and come in the game and have Frazier steal the ball. And Knicks did it to, at that time, they were called the Cincinnati Royals. So this is number one, though.
Good.
I never give up on them. I'm sorry. I never give up on the Knicks. And it's to me, any game is not over until I see those three zeros. When I see those zeros up on the clock, then I know it's time to turn it off and to talk about it on the fan with you. But tonight, you know, you said that you got your wife upset because you yelled. Well, my girlfriend is real pissed off at me, and she's sleeping in the living room tonight because she can't hang out with me because I'm still hyped up. And
yep. And
I
so,
but how come? Anytime soon.
And thank you for the call, Bear. I'd be the one in the living room when my wife is mad at me and she can't hang out with me. I get banished to the living room. You're hanging out in the bedroom. She's in the living room. You got a good dynamic going on. She's a keeper. But yes, I mean, I'm trying to think back. Is this my favorite Knick win of all time? I mean, it might be as most improbable.
I can only think of one close.
Beating the Bulls in '94, and you know, Kukoc takes the obviously that series where Kukoc hits the shot and. But they finally get past the Bulls even without Jordan and go to the NBA Finals. Only one that even comes close. The LJ 4-point play.
Oh, yeah. So two. The Houston shot over Miami.
And then the Houston shot over Miami.
But this is definitely them in the best first in round. 25
yeah.
years.
Yeah, no, it's the best in forever. Yeah. But yeah, that was a good one. That last second off the rim. Rolls in to beat Miami as the 8 seed to beat the 1 seed and move on in the playoffs where they go all the way to the NBA Finals. That's the other thing. Like that's a great game and a memorable one because it leads. If they lose in the next round, maybe that shot isn't as memorable. The fact that they go all the way to the NBA Finals, even though they didn't win a championship, it makes it more memorable. So we'll see. Is it the greatest one of my lifetime? I mean, I don't know. It's the best one in forever. It's the best I've felt watching a Knick game in a long, long, long time. A long time. Tony in the Bronx. What's up, Tony?
Big Mac, what's doing, pal?
What's up, buddy? How you feeling this morning?
Like a champ, let me tell you.
Like a champ.
Big game for them. Thank God these referees let them play last night. They got a little rough at the end there.
They did a little bit. I'm seeing highlights now where you can see right before the inbound, Maxey kind of pushes off on Hart. So I think it goes both ways, but it's very rare in an NBA game. Let's just be totally honest, especially lately. You know, it might not have been so rare when the Bulls were playing the Bad Boy Pistons, but like to see that much contact, to see a player kind of, I don't want to say thrown to the floor, but a player looks like there's some contact, he heads to the floor. You know, no whistle whatsoever. And that's how it should be. I agree. It's how it should be.
And on the other thing with Brunson, what people don't look at, they don't look at his stats. You know, he played four games against him during the regular season. Philly plays him tough. He scored 19, 20, 21, and 29.
Yeah.
That was, so he struggled with them. I mean, struggles. We say, you score 19, 20, that's pretty good.
No,
but
yeah, I get you.
Been doing, yeah, so, you know, give the kid a pass. You know, everybody has.
Why should I give him a pass?
No, not you. I mean, in general.
No, but why should anyone give him? Why should anyone give him a pass? He's their superstar. They need him.
Of course, but he still put up 21. It's not like he didn't. You know, he did a.
Yeah, it's not good enough.
You know what I mean?
No, I know, but it's just Tony. I appreciate it. It's just not good enough. It's not good enough from him. I'm not going to give him a pass. I'm not. He needs to be better. He needs to be better because if they don't win this game, if they don't pull out the miracle, and I understand he partook in the miracle. He hits the three-pointer. He wasn't completely absent in the miracle, but here's the problem. Like, you want to look at Brunson's performance? Here's the problem. They built an 8-point lead with him off the floor. Let me get the exact time frame on this. So he's off the floor. He's off the floor. Bogdanovich hits the big shots. And they build an 8-point lead and make it. Let me see. Where was the 8-point lead? Trying to think what time was left. 90. All right, so 90-82. And with 7 minutes and 43 seconds left, they're up 90-82. Jalen Brunson comes in right before the free throw from McBride. So Miles hits the three. He has that sequence where he rips the ball right out of the defender's hands. And then the next time down the court, he hits the jump shot and the foul and gets the end one. He hits that free throw. Brunson comes in, substitutes back in right before that free throw. McBride hits the shot, the foul shot. They're up 90-82 with 7 minutes and 43 seconds left. They're up 8 points. They've built an 8-point lead with McBride hitting shots, with Bogdanovich hitting two threes. They've built an 8-point lead. They're up 90-82, 7 minutes and 43 seconds left. Their superstar comes back into the game, and from that point on, from 7:43 until, let's say, 43 seconds when the foul shot's missed from Lowry at the end of the game, in the next 7 minutes after he comes back into the game, they're minus 13. That's just not good enough. Now, I'm not saying all that's his fault necessarily, but without him, they build an 8-point lead. They bring him back into the game for the final 7.5 minutes, and in that 7-minute stretch, they take an 8-point lead, and it turns into a 5-point deficit. The Knicks can't be worse with Brunson on the floor than they are without him. And Embiid was on the floor during that time period. That wasn't like, oh, both superstars were gone, and the Knicks were able to build a lead while Embiid was off the floor. Embiid was there. And yet the bench still figured out a way to build an 8-point lead. He comes back in, and they're minus 13 for the last 7 minutes of the game. It's unacceptable. He's got to be better. He's got to be the reason they build leads, not on the floor while they blow them. Now, they won. He hits the three. All is forgiven. He's got to come out and be better on Thursday. That's it. And I expect him to be. But let's just acknowledge. Don't try and make excuses for him. Don't say, hey, Philadelphia plays him tough. Hey, it's because of his double teams that their other guys are open for shots. I don't want to hear it. I really don't. Let's just be fair about it. He's been awful for 2 games. Maxey has been better. A hobbled Embiid has been better. We went into the series figuring Brunson, considering Embiid's knee issue, Brunson would be the best player in the series, and he's not been close. And having said that, they're up 2-0, and I fully expect him to be better. But let's not sugarcoat it. He's been bad. He's been bad. And it needs to change.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And Hunter Wendell said it's just thrown out Aaron Boone.
Oh, boy. I don't. Boone didn't say anything. Boone's just been thrown out of the game.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Yeah, that's right. Boone got thrown out. And I have a real problem with, I mean, listen, not so much him getting thrown out, but we'll get to it. But with the umpire, the response from the umpire, from the and then following it up with what he said post-game is just embarrassing. But right now, we're not focused on that. Do you think, what kind of guy do you think I am? You think I'm going to stop mid-Knicks excitement just to talk a little Yankees? Does that sound like me? I would never do such a thing. You people got me all wrong. 877-337-6666. McMonagle here with you. We're getting right back to the Knick calls. That's all we're doing, baby. Joe in Huntington. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Hey, Joe. What's up?
I thought I was going to get three goose eggs. Islanders lose. The Yankees lose. And then I thought the Knicks were going to lose. And then all of a sudden, they pulled it out.
I know.
I couldn't believe it. That was the, besides Larry Johnson with the fist. And I thought Josh Hart was the best out of all of them. And then Dukes. And when they stole the ball and made the layup, I thought that was great.
Yeah.
How could anybody sleep?
No, I don't
listening
know.
Listening to you. And watching that game, how could somebody go to sleep?
I don't know. I'm still pumped, man.
It's been
unbelievable.
I couldn't believe it. I'm being honest. I couldn't believe it. I thought it was three goose eggs.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, well, listen. We'll get to the baseball a little bit later. The Yankees and Mets. It's April games. Both teams are playing
yeah,
well.
Yeah, no, I meant the but, Islanders and the Yankees.
Well, I'm saying yeah, I know, but I'm saying the. But I'm saying the Yankees, you're going to call the Yankees just, a goose egg. But,
it blew it out. I think they're going to steal one from Philadelphia.
Well, listen, that's the goal, right? I mean, the goal right now is to go into Philadelphia and take one and come back looking to finish it off in five.
Thompson got to have a better game. Or else
again, yeah, I totally agree.
We'll be 2-2 in the going into the Garden
well,
if you don't play well.
No, that's the fear. The fear is that if this continues, they're going to come back tied 2-2. That Brunson has to be better. Now, again, there's two ways to look at it, I guess, fundamentally. That they've managed to win these two games without Brunson playing well, so that's a positive. Or the idea of what the hell's wrong with Brunson, he better figure it out because they can't win without him. Those are the two ways to look at this thing. Just as far as just through the narrow angle of just the Brunson element. But he does have to be better. There's no doubt about it. But I can't look at this. I can't look at this game and focus on that. And I get it. Six points in 40 seconds changes the entire dynamic. Of course, that's what it does. It changes the entire dynamic. That was my focus before they scored 6 points at the end of the game. And Hartenstein gets that block and they win the game. Before then, it was my focus. Now it's not so much my focus. But moving forward and winning this series, absolutely, he has to play better. And the other thing is about it, the role players are going to play better for Philadelphia when they're in their building. We saw what Batum did against Miami when they were in Philadelphia. He's going to play better than he's played in the Garden. That's typically how it goes. Your bench and role players perform better. Your stars play great everywhere, and your role players and bench players play better in their building. That's been the adage forever, and I think it's for a reason. So I would expect Philadelphia, who probably feels like they've been screwed out of two games and had every opportunity to win both of them, and I know for sure they feel screwed out of this game, and we're going to play the sound soon, whether it's Nick Nurse complaining about timeouts, whether it's Embiid complaining about fouls, whether it's Embiid guaranteeing victories. Right now they feel like they had an opportunity to win two games and they're 0-2. And the Knicks have got to figure out a way to keep the momentum. And Jalen Brunson has got to figure out a way to be better. He doesn't have to score 40. He doesn't have to score 60. He doesn't have to be the only answer they have. But he's got to be able to hit some shots. He's got to be able to figure out a way to be himself. He's got to be the driving force of this team, at least for a bit. And in two games, he has never been the reason for any stretch of time throughout the game. That's not going to cut it the rest of the series. But I don't expect it to continue. Jim in Center Reach. What's up, Jim?
How you doing? Played for Al McGuire in the 60s, and he taught us something that Brunson's going through right now. Whenever we played a superstar, Press Maravich, Elvin Hayes, Walt Frazier, we have two ways to look at it. You either play him man up and do the best you can, or you try to get him out of the game. And you know this.
Yeah.
Philadelphia is getting Brunson out of the game. When there's a 6'11" guy picking for him in the top of the key, they're going to double team him and stay with the double team. So he's not going to get a good shot. It's impossible for him to get a good shot like he does during the season. They're not playing him one-on-one. They're going to make sure that other guys score. In the first game, they won because Hart, who doesn't usually hit threes, hit about three or four of them.
At the end of the game, yep.
Of course. And it, great, you know, I love it. But, you know, I love it. But it to me, it's like they must have called Al McGuire up in the cemetery or something.
No,
but
well, listen,
do?
Double-teaming superstars isn't unique. I mean, I understand.
Of course it's not.
But,
no.
they overcome.
No, when you say they overcome, what you mean is other guys have to hit the shots. And they did. I'm not complaining.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying they play better than this. I watched Michael Jordan get double teamed for a long time.
He didn't
win just because Hodges and Armstrong hit three pointers. Like he also was great. He also was great and overcame. He didn't shoot eight for 29. No, but I'm saying a lot of superstars. I mean, Embiid, they're throwing double teams at Embiid. They're throwing double teams at Maxey. Maxey's getting to the basket at will, and Embiid scored 33 points on a hobbled knee.
Maxey cannot be guarded one-on-one. Cannot be. He's impossible to guard. There's not a chance in the world anybody on the Knicks can guard him one-on-one.
Right.
That's it. I mean, he's a tremendous athlete. But and Embiid is 7'1", 7'2". You can double team all you want. What good is that going to do?
Here's our problem then. Then you're getting to the conversation of an undersized superstar. Now you're saying Brunson isn't a superstar who can't overcome double teams in the playoffs.
He got 21 points. He usually averages 27, I think. So he's down 7, 8, 9, 10, right? Right. He did get, and I agree. He was forcing shots.
Yeah.
He's under a lot of pressure. He's only, 6'1", 6'2"? And in the first game, he had a 6'9 guy beating the hell out of him the whole game until the double team came.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying he scores 24 points, a third of them from the foul line. He's 1-for-6 from three.
But
and he's 8-for-29 overall. I don't know.
He's not going to get fouled that much. I mean, they'll foul him, of course. They're not going to let him get these open looks where he had
some shots. You make it sound like he didn't have a single open look. He's had some open looks. He's got to hit the shots.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing.
That's all I'm saying. Listen, if your point is they're making life tough for him, of course. I'm not saying they're not. He's got to be better. I mean, are you saying down the stretch of the season and none of these games without Randall and without Ananobi, he's never been double-teamed? During the course of the regular season, when he was giving you 40-point performances on almost a nightly basis, he was never double-teamed. No one ever tried to make it tough on Jalen Brunson. They just played him one-on-one because it's the regular season. He's never had to battle through a double team. He's never had to have a guy who's 6'7", 6'8", or a couple inches taller on him, mirroring him and staying with him. He's never had to do any of this. It was easy. The NBA made it easy for Brunson to score 40 points a night. And now the minute they make it tough, what do you expect? They made it tough. I'm sorry, I refuse to believe that. I refuse to accept that. I refuse to just say, and I'm not saying you're wrong, they are making it tough on him and he's struggling, but he's got to be better. I can't just say, hey, well, they're making it tough on him. What do you expect? What do I expect? I expect better than 8-for-29 and 1-for-6 from three-point land. That's what I expect. That's what I expect. I expect him to be a key element of the game. I expect that when he's off the court, they don't build the lead, and when he's back on it, they don't blow it. That's what I expect. Kevin and Carmel, what's up, Kev?
Hey, what's going on, man? So I've agreed with everything you said. First off, I want to talk about one of your callers a couple times ago. I'm like, this guy's got it going for him. His girl's sleeping on the couch, and he's chilling.
Yeah, that's
I'm like, I literally... I told my girl, like, what are you doing tonight? And I'm like, well, the Knicks are on. She goes, okay, I really can't deal with you, like, being like that when you're with the Knicks. And then I heard that. I'm like, wait,
yeah.
It is possible. She could be on the couch and I could be in the bed.
Yeah, exactly. That's some move. Yeah, exactly. At 1:40 in the morning, he's like, yeah, she's out in the living room. Oh, nice.
Yeah,
that must be. I'm in, you know, your bed cozy. Yeah, nice. I like it.
Yeah, I need to take whatever yoga classes he's taking.
Yeah.
but anyway, I agree with the buzzer thing. I agree because I'm like, if you're... You know, we've watched Jalen Brunson since he's been in New York, and he's thinking the same thing that we're thinking. He doesn't want us to say, like, oh, who cares that I scored this many points. He's probably, it's eating him up inside because he knows.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah. He knows that he needs that. He knows that he deserves better, and they're 2-0 without him even doing what he should be doing. And also, one of my buddies, and also, like, talking to Sixers fans, they're like, oh, yeah, well, the Knicks, it's like, yeah, well, the Sixers had to beat the refs and the Knicks. And did you, I'm biased because I'm a Knicks fan, but yeah. I'm like, did you see any type of, like, maybe I'm biased, but I didn't notice anything to where I'm like, oh, thank God the Knicks, thank God the refs helped us out.
No, I didn't. I didn't think that at all. I mean... They got a favorable overturn foul. So did the 76ers. At the end of the game, I'm just seeing a replay now. It looks like Maxey really pushes off Hart right before the inbounds, and there's some contact, but they let it go. I mean, I don't think the refs had a major impact in this game. I think it's, you know, I mean, I guess I even heard LeBron in a post game reference it. I guess LeBron feels that way. We'll play some sound coming up soon from Embiid. I guess Embiid feels that way. But no, watching the game, I thought the refs were no, they lost to the Knicks, yeah. Not the Knicks and the refs. That's a bunch of crybaby.
And I also
nonsense.
Feel like you can't snapshot the last 15 seconds of a game to where, like, oh, he kind of pulled my jersey a little. I'm like, okay, well, then if we want to play that game, we can go through every foul that's ever been called throughout the entire game.
No, I agree. No, listen, that last sequence, here's the thing. Maxey hits the floor. There's contact right on the inbounds. Then he hits the floor, and it's just unusual to not hear a whistle. I do agree. In the regular season, that's a foul. They let it play. I don't think they were screwed at all. It's a bunch of crybaby stuff. We'll hear what the Sixers have to say after the update. Mario in Long Beach, what's up, Mario?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, bud?
Nice show as usual.
Thank
you,
sir.
You know, it's very interesting. I don't buy that thing because you remember the Boston game? I think right before the season ended, and when they played their starters, they really didn't have to. So I believe in that game they were trying to figure out if they play the Knicks in the playoffs, how should they guard Brunson?
Yeah.
So they were blitzing him, double teaming, and he killed them. I'm starting to think about something that you said earlier about burning out players. I'm wondering if this guy's burnt out a little bit too from all the minutes he played.
Yeah,
you know, because he's not looking right to me. You know,
no,
like
I mean
physically.
that's been the fear of Tibbs and what and his coaching style and whether or not, and especially having to carry the load, but he was still so good down the stretch. It's not like, I mean, it would be, I mean, it's not like he was fading down the stretch. I mean, that would really be something if all of a sudden come playoff time that somehow this is where he's just become, you know, worn down. I don't know. Is there something to be said for it? I mean, it's been a concern. It's been a talking point. So it's not, it's impossible to ignore the idea that it could be something, but I don't know if that's it just yet. I mean, I just think he's off. I think they've made it tough for him. I think he's had missed a lot of the shots early in the game, and it's just got him off rhythm, and he hasn't played well, and then he forces some things. But he does hit the big shot at the end of the game. I wanted to give him some credit. That's a big three. It's but yeah,
Mac, that was a little lucky too.
Everything's a little lucky. I mean, thanks for taking my call.
You
got
it,
buddy. They're down 5 points with 47 seconds left. It took a lot of luck to win this game. There's nothing wrong with luck. Good teams get luck. Luck is to be expected when you win. No one's going to win. No one's going to get all the way to a championship without luck. Let's get to Tom in Forked River, who's at the game. What's up, Tom?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing, dude? I like your show, man. You pull out some good movie quotes once in a while.
Yes,
man. It's
thank
pretty
you.
Funny, man.
Thank you. I try.
I was at the game tonight, man. Took my 16-year-old son, and we were on a real bad losing streak. Went to 2 Jets games last year. They were miserable.
Uh-huh.
And this, you know, I was just talking to the guy who answered the phone, and
the great Fliegelman, yes.
Yeah, I said to I texted some of my buddies, and I went, do the refs look as bad on TV as they do here? Like, I mean, we just thought we were getting, I just thought the refs were killing us most of the game. And, but then at the end, you know, like, I mean, I don't even know what happened with that inbounds, how the Knicks ended up getting possession of that. Like,
yeah,
that was such a crazy sequence, but you just nailed it when you said, you can't get to the championship without some luck.
No.
So call it what you want, grittiness and luck, dude. I mean, how many times did the Knicks lose games in the playoffs because of luck?
Of course. Luck is the residue of design, right? I mean, that's just it, – you have to put yourself in a position to be lucky. You have to try and – you know, it's not just a matter of pure luck. They're not winning the lottery. They're out there literally – and even the lottery, you have to buy a ticket, I suppose. But, like, they're working at it. They're trying – they're putting themselves in a position to be lucky. And, yeah, I mean, listen, it takes a little bit of luck. Yes, the shot from Brunson hits off the front rim and then finds its way through the basket. Is there a chance that ball comes down, hits the rim again, and bounces out? Sure. It didn't last night.
Did I just hear, I thought I heard on SportsCenter earlier, or, the whatever the channel is, did the Knicks score 8 straight points with 27 seconds? Is that what I heard?
Did they score what? 8 points.
8 straight points?
Yes.
They went on an 8-0 run with 20. Yeah, I was at the, like I said, I was at the game. It was crazy. But now watching all the highlights, man.
Yeah, no, they Brunson hits the 3. Then they steal the inbound pass. DiVincenzo misses the first one. They get the offensive rebound. He hits another one, so that's 6. Then Maxey comes down, gets blocked by Hartenstein at the basket.
Man.
And then they foul Anunoby, and he hits the 2 foul shots. So 2 threes, 2 foul shots, 8 straight points with 20 seconds.
Yeah, you're right. It was 8 straight. Well, that was insane. And Bogdanovich, yeah. And I think at one point in the game, Bogdanovich and McBride, I think, counted for 11 points. It was like 11-2 run, man,
yeah.
Which got the Knicks right back into the game.
They built an 8-point lead on the back of Bogdanovich and McBride without –
yeah.
Without Brunson on the floor. And then Brunson came back and they blew it.
I don't understand how they're saying, you know, there's people saying that, you know, you're not going to go anywhere because Brunson's shut down. But it doesn't seem to be making that much of a difference. The other guys are stepping up. It's a team win.
Yeah, no, totally agree. But the issue is, you know, like we've just been talking about here, Tom.
Maybe not sustainable.
Well, it's probably not sustainable without him. And let's be honest, they scored 8 straight points in 20 seconds. That's not a very sustainable or expected occurrence. I mean, that's very unlikely.
Yeah, you're right.
You can't.
Yeah.
I don't want to. If the Knicks find themselves down 5 points with 40 seconds left in any game again this series, they'll probably lose that game. So they have to find a way to be better, and Jalen Brunson has to find a way to be better. But in no way am I saying he can't or that I don't expect him to. I expect him to. I still believe in Jalen Brunson. Like, I can both be disappointed with him and frustrated by his play and still expect him to be great. They are not mutually exclusive. I don't think he's a bum. I'm not going to immediately transition to, yes, you know what, they were right about him the whole time. He's undersized. In the big moments, he can't come through. And with tough defense, he's not going to be able to do it. You know, not at all. I think he's going to be great in Philadelphia. I still have – he's been so good for so long. How else could I think? He's going to break through. But the first 2 games, he's been bad. And they've won anyway. That almost empowers me a little bit because there's no way he's going to be bad again. But at the same time, I said the same thing after game 1. I expected him to be far better in game 2, and he wasn't. He just wasn't. Now he's getting his assist. He made a couple of nice passes. He's getting to the foul line. He scored 7 points from the line, 7 for 9 from the foul line. I mean, he's still doing some things. He's making some plays. He's actually a +3 on the night, which is surprising to me considering in the last, although they come back and win by 3 points, so that helps. But, I mean, he was a -13 in the last 7 minutes before the miraculous 8 points. 8 rebounds. no offensive, but 8 rebounds, 6 assists, led the team in assists. I mean, it's, you know, he's a plus 3. He wasn't, I mean, he just wasn't a superstar. He wasn't the guy who leads them. Who's the player of the game? Not Brunson. He leads them in points with 24 points, namely because he gets to the free throw line 7 times. He took 29 shots, which is 13 more than anybody else. Josh Hart was next with 16. He's 1 for 6 from 3-point line. I mean, it's just, which is under 2, which is under 20%. It's just not good enough. 877-337-6666, but I still expect him to be better. All right, we'll come back and let's hear what these 76ers had to say after the game with their whining and complaining. With the whining and the complaining and the whole thing. 877-337-6666. More of your phone calls next. Maybe we'll get to some other things. Can you imagine that Zach Wilson was traded and it's like, maybe we'll get to it in a 5-hour show. That's how much the Knicks and even the Islanders have given us here in this postseason as the Islanders blow a 3-goal lead, try to sit on it, and get beat by a Carolina team that was expected to, hell, go to the Stanley Cup Finals, and they had an opportunity to take one in Carolina and head home tied, and instead, heartbreaking loss, blow a 3-goal lead, and are now 0-2 coming back home to UBS. And the Knicks, 2-0, heading to Philadelphia, despite their superstar not having his best games.